Hey.
That was such a long pause before you started.
I know. It was a little bit of a longer pause than normal. See, thing is, Aiden comes in with the edit after the pauses. So nobody else is going to know that there was a pause apart from us.
But now
but either way.
Unless I put the pause in.
You're just going to put the entire pause in.
Yeah. It'll be like nice. 20 seconds of just dead air before the podcast starts.
Yeah. But either way, welcome back, everyone. Too bad, feel good. The podcast where we look at poorly rated movies. And of course, we always ask the question, is this bad film good? So. And we ask it exactly as Aiden just said it. My name is Declan.
And I'm Alliston.
Alvin
and the Chipmunks.
No, we're not doing that again. I thought you were going to do the, like, you know how in every film she's like, my name is Alice, and I'm on the run from the Umbrella Corporation still, again, probably, and this is my story, or whatever.
She she does. I was about to be like, she doesn't do that in the third one. Nah, 100% she does.
Yeah, she definitely does. Yeah, no, in case you haven't guessed, we will be looking at both Resident Evil 3 and Resident Evil 4 today.
Hell yeah.
Aiden has watched Resident Evil 3, I have watched Resident Evil 4. We both watched it together ages ago anyway.
Yeah, and we loved it so much, we thought we had to do it again for the podcast because they're so high quality. And I think... Yeah, you've been watching. You watched two, and I watched one last time. So we're on alternating films, which makes it quite confusing right at the start of the film.
I tell you what, I think going from one to three is so much more of a bigger jump than going from two to four.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Okay,
ask you.
Okay. But yeah, before we get into all things evil at the residence, Aiden, why don't you tell us, what is Shrekking this week?
What is it? Resident Shrekking?
Is Shrekkingly evil?
So, I thought, as we're doing two films...
You should have saved the Shrek house thing for this week, because that would have been the resident, that would have been the Shrek residence.
Fuck!
The resident Shrek.
fuck! Oh, shit! well, fuck. No, but because we're doing two films, I thought, hey, I'll get two articles.
Ooh, double the Shrek.
Double the Shrek. Only because one is such a quick... little just update more.
I thought you were going to say only because what is so shit.
Both. It's quick and shit. Yeah. So
quick and shit.
The
love
quick
it.
And shit one is an article from Metro. I won't read the article.
Metro!
Gotta bet you on a beat.
I love that you just knew what that was. Start singing Hummingbird.
Or you get the best song is Annihilate. It's a good song, but the best part is Lil Wayne singing his verse, and at the end he goes like Spider-Verse. just in case you didn't know what film you were watching,
just in case somebody took that verse out of context, he could stand for it just to be like Spider-Verse.
Anyway,
I'm gonna have to listen to that back. I don't remember that.
He's like it's something like, I'm a nitty witty spider since I was a little spider. Something, I'm crawling out your mouth.
Oh,
something
yeah.
else. And then he goes, Spider-Verse.
Good stuff.
Anyway.
Lil Wayne and his
Metro!
Spiders.
Metro! This article is more of an update for us rather than anything else. We don't need to read the article. There's nothing to it. But Al Pacino at 83 has once again been spotted with his Shrek phone case and plug-in headphones.
Love it.
It's the exact same phone case. The only difference is this time, we now see him with the headphones in his ears, as the previous two times they were just in his phone. Look, there's a whole article. We don't need to read it. That was the quick and short and shit one. The second one is from Screen Rant. Screen Rant!
No, you beat me to it. You beat me to it by just a second.
Screen Rant! Yeah, that screen out of that beat.
I always think of the other one, the like one that's like Gwen's song.
Which one's that?
I can't remember the name of the song. But it's got like a kind of like it's got like a sound that goes with it with that metro bit where it's like beady beady, and it just, I always think of that. Yeah.
Is that the one where it's like, what's the one where at the end it's like, welcome to Spider Society?
No, that one is the one where at the end you have the like, every universe has, like in every universe, Gwen Stacy falls for Spider-Man, but it never ends well. And then he's like, whoa, he puts on the fucking ring. He's like, well, man, this time, you know.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's how it works, by the way.
And then he goes, Metro!
Love that bit where Miles turns to and goes, Metro!
And then Gwen stays and goes, and then Metro on the beat. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah.
You strike.
Scream Rant. Scream Rant. The Despicable Me franchise holds a record only one upcoming DreamWorks sequel can beat. I wonder what it will be. So Illumination's Despicable Me franchise currently holds an impressive record that Shrek 5 has a great chance of breaking. The Despicable Me franchise has an incredible record that can only be broken by Shrek, we know. Produced by blah, 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 blah. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Tell us what the record is. Please, please tell us what the record is.
Please, please, Joker.
Joker, please. Let me watch Despicable Me.
You have to watch Minions first. I've got a minion.
Joker, no. Joker, no. I don't want to watch the prequel. Joker.
Anyway.
The record is Despicable Me beats Shrek as the highest grossing animated film franchise of all time. So the Shrek franchise measures up to Despicable Me in a number of ways. It's that it was good, blah, blah, blah. More bullshit. Just give me the fucking numbers, Scream Rant. I just want fucking numbers.
Also, Shrek as a franchise was a lot earlier than Minions and stuff, right? So I'm guessing they haven't accounted for things like inflation and blah, 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 whatever, because Shrek was back in the earlier 2000s, whereas we're still getting... I mean, the last Minions movie was what? Was it last year, year before, something like that? People showing up in Minion suits.
Good stuff.
Showing up in suits for the Minion movie.
Yeah, for... Was that Minions?
Or yeah, was it was like Minions 2 or something.
Okay, yeah.
I'm sure. I can look it up.
Yeah, but... So this is the interest.
2022.
The disparity in Shrek and Despicable Me's worldwide box office is currently about 600 million. to put that gap in a better perspective, Shrek 2, Shrek the Third, and Shrek Forever After each made more than that globally during their respective releases. If Shrek 5 is able to follow the trend of earlier installments, the franchise could undoubtedly surpass Despicable Me's record to reclaim its spot as the highest grossing film of all time. Pause. If Shrek 5 just comes out, it will get $1 billion.
It will be fucking so huge.
Regardless of the quality.
Well, I think it would be big regardless of the quality. But if it was to the level of like the recent Puss in Boots movie where they do like a really good film, it will make so much fucking money.
100%.
I feel like they shouldn't, I don't know, do you brand it as Shrek 5 though? Or do you brand it as like a new kind of just like Shrek something, you know what I mean? Like, because you've got Shrek, you've got Puss in Boots, you've got like extra elements there. Because if it's just Shrek 5, do people go like, oh, there's another one?
Because Puss in Boots 2 isn't Puss in Boots 2, it's Puss in Boots The Last Wish. I think you're on to something. I think it will be Shrek The Final Battle.
Countdown.
Yeah, The Final Battle.
The Final Battle. Like it's some Lord of the Rings, like...
Shrek The Twin Towers.
The Twin Towers.
Oh, no! No!
Oh, no! The Final Battle for Shrek.
Shrek, no!
Oh no, Shrek.
Oh, Shrek, that really, no.
He's really got off the rails.
Shrek the Two Towers, I meant.
Shrek the Twin Towers.
Fuck.
11th of September.
Oh, God.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's not because it's 9/11. Yeah, they do it the other way around, and they
The fantastic reception of Puss in Boots: The Last Wish has added to the anticipation for Shrek 5, or as it's commonly known, Shrek the Twin Towers.
Man, could you imagine?
Shrek, big film, basically. There's nothing else.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah. Whatever happens, Shrek wins.
That's the tagline of the thing. That's the slogan. Whatever happens, Shrek wins.
Oh my god.
Right, let's spare Aiden from digging himself further, like, deeper into this.
Hey,
15 minutes in already.
I made the first dig. You fucking brought the excavator to dig that hole.
Aiden, why don't you give us some info about the so. As we said, we did it as Resident Evil 3, Resident Evil 4. Aiden watched 3, I watched 4. So what we'll do is I'll give the... If Aiden gives a bit of a background for both films, then I'll hit us with the synopsis for one. We'll talk about one, and then we'll do the next synopsis and the next one. But they'll be shorter, obviously, than normal. So
sounds good, baby. Go.
Resident
Evil Extinction. It was made in 2007, directed by... Russell Mulcahy, written by Paul Wes Anderson.
Yep.
which we'll probably talk about. Stars. commonly known as Mila Jovovich.
Janosian.
Oded Fehr, Ali Latta, Ian Glenn, Stephen Buss, Ashanti, Mike Epps, Christopher Egan, and Spencer Locke. It has just gonna get it up. It's got 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 24% on Rotten Tomatoes. and 41 Metal Crickets. It had a budget of $45 million, which actually isn't so bad, and made $147 million.
Fuck me, yeah. These clearly films keeping made so the trend
of yeah. why they kept making them. And then we have Resident Evil Afterlife, which was made in 2010, directed by the man himself, Paul Wes Anderson. He watched the third one and was like, I gotta take control of this.
did we say he directed any of the first two?
He directed the first one. The second one was someone else. The third one was someone else. And then after the third one, he did all of them. And I think he's quoted...
After the third one, they were like, we can't really find anyone else. You're going to have to do it yourself now.
No, I think he's quoted as like, he didn't want... he directed the rest because he didn't trust anyone to take it into the direction.
Which is brilliant, considering
how fucking insane it gets.
Yeah.
But anyway, stars Mila Jujun, Ali Latta, Kim Coots, Steve Bissin, Sean Roberts, Sergio Perez Mencheta, Spencer Locke, Boris Johnson, and Wentworth Miller.
Yes, there is, it seems to be some sort of Resident Evil. Yes,
it seems to be some sort of virus. But I'm not worried. I'm going to shake hands with everyone, yes. And I've been kissing babies on the mouth and party.
I'm going to jail.
At my house.
oh my god.
I believe in herd immunity and we should throw ourselves to the zombies.
It's getting too real.
You first, of course.
it's got this one's got 5.8 out of 10 on IMDb. 21% on Rotten Tomatoes.
They're dropping.
And 37 Metal Crickets liked it. This one had a budget of $60 million. So they were they took a real gamble and more budget. But unfortunately, this one made $300 million.
No way. Yeah. There's no fucking way. Yeah. You're joking me.
Yeah, the thing is, and we see this a lot with like The Meg and just trash films.
Yeah.
Trash in the best way, I mean. But it had a budget of $60 million, and in the US and Canada, it grossed $60 million.
Right.
So that means $240 million, like worldwide, or like outside of the US, is just
internationally
fucking crazy. Like,
that's so wild. I wonder what their biggest market is.
I don't know. Like, because usually I'd be like, yeah, China 100%. Like, if they came out now, China 100%. But I don't know what the market was like in 2010.
Back at that time,
I don't know. Probably the same. Who knows? But, let's fucking get into the first one or the third one. But actually, before we get into my one, I just want to ask you...
Sure.
How much context did you have for the start of your one? Because mine ends, and I was like, oh, shit, yeah, I remember the start of the next one.
Yeah.
But without the context of what had happened in my film, I feel like it would have been the wildest shit.
No, see, thing is, I did kind of remember a little bit. So when I started this one, sorry, when I started the fourth one, I was like, oh yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll spoil it because my one ends with like Alice. I'll get into more context for this, but Alice basically has a clone army. that she's building. She's like, I'm fucking coming for you with a clone army.
I'm fucking coming.
I'm fucking coming. And then I was like, oh yeah, of course. Because in the next film, it starts with like an army of Alice's coming for the Umbrella Corp.
Coming all over.
But I was just thinking, like, you've ended the second film. She's like, they've left Raccoon City, I think. Well, I can't really remember what happened.
It's I can do a little mini recap if you want first, but yeah.
Yeah, please.
Oh, right now? Okay. Yeah. I was going to let you finish your fucking sentence first. I mean, the end of the second one was like Alice kind of gets like recaptured. I don't remember how. And then thing where she's like getting, she's like in a tube and then it, like a test tube thing. And then you've got that guy.
Dr. Simp.
Yeah, Dr. What's-His-Face, who was like, what's your name? Tell me your name, or whatever, trying to get her to remember stuff. And then she's just suddenly like, my name is Alice.
Yeah.
And then she fucking uses her mind powers to fucking blow everyone's brains up. Because I think she has like super strength or something, and then you kind of see some mind power stuff being used. She like looks at a security camera, and the guy who's sat in the surveillance room with the security camera feeds starts getting a nosebleed and just dies or something. And I was like, what?
Oh my
How?
God, dude, you have no so then, idea.
so then it's like, oh, she has mind powers. And then fucking Jill and Carlos show up and they're like, we are totally here on official Umbrella business. Please come with us now. And you have, if you remember, you had that thing where the doctor guy has some weird fucking sixth sense to know exactly where she is and what she's doing, because he just speaks into a fucking little radio and just goes, let her go. And then they let her go with them. And I was like, you're on the floor in a room, like, underground. How do you know this? And then they drive off, and she's like, what's going on, Alice? And then Alice's eye kind of goes like, bleep, 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 bleep.
Yeah, Umbrella Corp. So I imagined you being like, okay, it's that. Next film, Army of Alice's. Okay, but
yeah.
So this one's...
Do you want me to give the synopsis for this?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Before we go into...
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, we watched both of these on Amazon Prime. And the synopsis for the third one, Mila Jovovova is back to kill more zombies in the third chapter of the hit Resident Evil franchise, an action horror film... Oh, that's weirdly... An action horror film filled with huge special effects and edge-of-your-seat terror... Survivors of the Raccoon City catastrophe travel across the Nevada desert, hoping to make it to Alaska. Alice, Jovovich in brackets, joins their caravan and their fight against the evil Umbrella Corp. Not what you think is kind of a follow-on, but sure.
Well, yeah, so there's a reason for that. So we get... The film opens and Alice wakes up in the house in the shower again, like the first one. And at first you're like, wait, what? Like, did they just forget how the other one ended? But no, it turns out she's running through the facility and she's like, what's going on? And then she gets shot in the stomach and you're like, oh, what? And then she fucking dies. And then, like... the guy, I called him Dr. Simp, and it's because he's played by the guy from Game of Thrones, who's like, Khaleesi. Who's, you know, the guy who just simps for Khaleesi the whole time. He's played by him, and he's like, we need the original Alice for reasons. So you're like, oh, I remember there are clones in this. Yeah, there's clones, I think. I think there's clones in this.
Well, because you at least knew from the first one that she was like genetically engineered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. So when it's not like a what the fuck, there are clones. It was like, oh, okay, yeah, there's clones. And then you see, like, they take her to a mass grave of Alice's just out in the desert and dump her. And you're like, right, yeah, okay, I'm on it. Now, there's clones in this one. I remember this. So, and then we cut to the voiceover. So and it's, and it's like, it's been 5 years since the last film. And the T-virus has spread, even though they said they had contained it in the last film. They didn't. We changed our minds. And
the first of many retcons in this series.
Yeah. So the T-virus has spread across the world, and it's killed everything, even rivers? So somehow the T-virus has attacked rivers, and they've all dried up. So, like, the entire planet is essentially one big desert. So the fact that they're... In the synopsis, it says the Nevada Desert. It's not meant to be. It's just, like, the entire... Or not the entire globe, but most of the globe is a big, fat desert, apart from Alaska, which we'll get to.
but that's so weird, because I don't... I'm pretty sure they just... I guess they just retcon that again, right?
And, like, I haven't misheard something, right? I know this because they do the thing where they show the Earth in space, and then slowly the continents start to go to like a sandy color, and you're like,
there's
okay.
No fucking way. We'll talk about what happens at the
all right, but yeah. But because I was like, how does a fucking virus dry up a river? That makes no sense.
Even if it killed off the ecosystem around the place, like,
yeah, it
water still evaporates and falls and stuff.
Yeah, like, that's just so weird. But anyway, so it's a big desert. And then we see Alice, and she's on her own. She's just left Carlos and Jill, I guess.
I have a little bit of info.
Yeah.
About, so, obviously you'll get into it about the characters that you meet and stuff. One of them is Claire, like, supposed to be.
Oh, Claire, sorry,
sort
not
of
Jill.
Like, no, you're right about Jill.
Am I?
No, so one of them that she meets in this film, in the third film, is Claire, who, obviously in the Resident Evil games, she's Chris's sister, and she has her own thing, and whatever,
right,
and blah,
yeah.
blah, blah. But apparently, because of conflicts, I think, like filming conflicts and stuff, I think it was because of that, the actress that played Jill wasn't able to reprise her role, so instead they put Claire in.
Right, okay.
So that's why she is at the end of the second film and then just disappears. It's not, I mean... Unless they say something in the third film, they just don't mention anything about her or Carlos.
No, Carlos is in the third one.
Oh, Carlos is in this one.
Yeah.
Okay, so in that case, yeah, she's just sort of disappears and they replace her with Claire, basically.
That's so good.
But she comes back, which we'll get into later.
But yeah, so she's traveling through the desert. She's going around, like, hearing radio calls being like, oh my god, help us. So she goes to one, and it's like, it's a trap. Like, it's a bit Resident Evil 7, actually. Because she goes into like this abandoned shop, and they're all like fucking crack addicts, and it's like, what are we gonna do with her, mama? And she's like, I think we should kill her. And they're like, yeah, woo! So I was like, this is weird.
It turns out that was the inspiration for Resident Evil 7.
Yeah, that one bit. She gets captured, like, and they've just got those demon dogs, those like infected dogs from the first
one. Love the infected dogs.
Yeah.
They love using them.
And they've just got them. Like, I guess they just captured them and kept them. I don't know, I guess.
Maybe they turned while they were in
That's so stupid.
I don't know.
But they set them loose on Alice, and she just like, she's like, wait a minute, I'm Alice, and just fucking kills them all. She kills all the dogs, then kills all the crackheads, and then she just bounces. And you're like, okay, but so what was the point of that then? Like, I don't know. Because then we get, we're like, okay, Alice is doing her own thing. Now we see Claire and Carlos, and they've got some like Mad Max looking convoy. They're in a big bus. And they just gathered up some survivors and trolling around the desert. So it kind of like flips between Alice and them just doing their own thing. And then like we see the C plot, I guess, which is the Khaleesi guy, being like, I've got to find my experiments, we need Alice. And it's just, his thing is, he's trying to work out a cure, and he vaguely does, but it doesn't really work. Like, he injects a zombie at one point, and it seems docile, but then, because he can't do a simple task, he freaks out again and kills some, like, assistants. But Dr. Simp is like, yes, good. But yeah, anyway, so Alice finds a book, which will lead into the fourth one, I'm sure. And in the book, it's like, there is a safe zone in Alaska.
Oh,
we must go to Alaska. Survivor.
You see that book for about 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's like the stupidest like plot shit. You know how in every film that's like this, you open the book and it's got like, it will just say safe zone, and then like it will be circled and underlined three times, and then it'll be like a map of
Alaska. It's got the red circle,
yeah,
with a red arrow, and then somebody's like drawn a pog face pointing towards it, and they're like safe zone in Zombie City, like
could be good. So yeah, she finds the book, and then. Which is just in a gas station. I was like, surely there should be more significance to this. But it's just like in a gas station next
so
to a dead
anybody
body.
Could have written in that book.
Yeah, it's not like a she just finds this random this guy the guy whose book it was has hung himself because she finds his body. So
a great sign that you should follow whatever is in this book.
Exactly. You're like, what? This is just a scribblings of an unwell man. And you're like, seems good enough for me.
Yeah, 5 years in.
So yeah, she finds the book. And then, like, we keep flipping between the convoy. In the convoy, there's a guy called LJ, which I couldn't remember if he's the guy from the second one with the Deagles. Do you remember that
If he's
guy?
Got two guns and he's got like a... Does he have like a special hat? Like a cool hat?
No, he seemed more military. Oh no, he does have a cool hat. He's not military. But we never see his cool guns. So I was like, I don't know if this is the same guy or not.
I don't know if he was called LJ. I'll look it up while you're talking.
He does make witty remarks. So he's either the same.
LJ was more of a like. He wasn't. I wouldn't say he was witty. Like the guy before, he was more just like. He's the character that would point an obvious thing out in a scene. Right. Something would happen, and it'd be like, "Wow, that just happened! Wow." <That's cool.
laughs> He does the classic thing of he gets bit and then just doesn't say anything, which it's like. Fucking 5 years in, you think by now you'd just be like, okay, I've seen people do this and it just doesn't end well. I think it's my responsibility to tell you all I've been bit, so I'm just gonna
It is him, LJ.
It's Mike that Epps. Guy?
It's him.
Why? Why is he it's so dumb? Oh, anyway, so this is where we get the join up of the stories, and it gets fucking wild. Because, but at this point, you're like, all right, yeah, it's Mad Max. They're doing their thing. It's a bit standard. Then Claire's group, they've set up camp, and then they get attacked by some zombie crows, and there are like thousands of them. It's like the birds. The birds.
Yeah.
and they're like trying to shoot them, and they're missing because they're birds. So like, it's just fucking dumb. And then so people are like crashing. They're like, oh my god, we gotta get out of here. But there's too many birds, so they crash and like half of them die. And I was just like, why don't you just wait in the vehicles for a bit?
Just yeah, wait. They're birds.
Yeah, they're birds, dude. So they all get fucked up, and then Alice.
Yeah.
She cut like they're all like, oh my god, we're gonna die. Claire's about to die, and then fucking psychic bullshit. The sky turns to flame. And all the birds die at once. There's like a force field around Claire where Alice is. She's like, I'll protect you. And all the birds just fucking die. And I was like, what? What? Yeah. How? It's just amazing. So then Alice is like, oh, hey, by the way, I found this crazy man's book. We should go to Alaska. And they're like, okay, makes sense to me.
Sure, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, they're together. They get attacked by more zombies. Everyone struggles apart from Alice, who's just doing badass shit with machetes.
And this is what we kind of were talking about with the second film, where they just set her up to be like, oh no,
yeah.
Look at all of the characters from that are the iconic characters from the games that you know and love and are the namesake of this series. Watch them be completely helpless and shitting themselves until Alice comes in and Deus Ex Machina's the whole thing.
I love that quote from the second one where it's like, wow, she's awesome. I mean, I know I'm good, but she's the best ever, whatever it is.
Just like, yeah, it's like, I'm good, but you, you're super cool. If you had an action figure, I would buy it. They should put you in the video games.
And then we get, so Dr. Simp, I haven't written down his actual name, so that is his name now. They're like tracking her. They can just see her from a satellite, I guess.
Oh, and we had that in the fourth one as well.
Yeah, they can just track her.
It was never... I guess maybe if it was established as to why in the third one, but in the fourth one, you just don't like, you just see it a couple times where the satellite just tracks her, but you never get like a resolution as to why.
It's never explained why that's a thing. It just is a thing. They're just like,
right.
We can track her. And it's even it, but it gets even stupider because, They're just watching her, and they're like, all right, that's enough. Execute Order 66 or whatever. And they just turn Alice off. They could just turn her off. She just, like, they press a button, and she just, like, freezes, and her eyes turn into the Umbrella Corp logo. And I was like, if they had that the whole fucking time, how have we got here? Like, how did the first film happen? Just turn her off. That makes no fucking sense. And then, this is even stupider. So they've turned her off, and she's like, no. And she, you know how they did the thing where she psychics the guy in the through the camera, and it like follows the path of the camera and fucks her? It does that, but she does it to a fucking satellite. She goes, and not just the satellite, it zooms up into space, into the satellite, into like a microchip inside the satellite, and the microchip fries. And I was like, God. What? It's in fucking space. And then they're like, get it back up and running. And then they just do. And I was like, what?
They're like, oh yeah, we'll just repair the fry chip in space.
Yeah, exactly. And also they repair it, but then just don't turn her off again. They're like, well, that didn't work. Let's not try that again. It's just so, like, they just do shit and don't explain it. And then just were like, well, it doesn't matter. But yeah, so Dr. Simps there, he's like there in the same location as they are. And he gets bit, but they escape on a helicopter. And then we see him a bit later and he's got stretchy hands, which I'm sure is a reference to a villain in the games, but I don't know what it is.
I mean, it's just in Resident Evil, you'll have, you know, people mutate. There's always tentacles and shit and whatever. And I mean, yeah, I don't remember that exactly, but I'm sure that they were trying to do a Resident Evil. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So he's like, oh, we're like, well, that's going to be the fight at the end. Then, right, they're getting fucked up. This is the weirdest thing, which is saying something. But so Carlos gets bit by LJ because LJ's a cunt and just turns. And Carlos is like, it's too late for me. And Alice is doing the classic Alice thing where she just gets really upset for no reason. And then they work out a plan. So they've got to get to this thing and there's loads of zombies there. So Carlos is going to drive a big oil tanker into it and blow it up to sacrifice himself. And then Alice is very upset by this, so much so that they share a passionate kiss for no reason. Yeah.
Alice
and Carlos. And I was like, bro, they fucking met. Like, how long have they been? She met him 5 years ago for what, 10 minutes and then fucked off? Like, how does she even know who this fucking guy is? Like, it's just fucking insane. I was like, what the fuck is that? And then also, like, he's fucking infected. Surely he should be kissing someone that's infected, right?
No, I think the idea with Alice is that she...
Oh, she's... She's kind of infected
or immune or whatever. Because they say something about that in the fourth film about... But I think that's like... The idea is that she was genetically engineered to be compatible with the T-virus or whatever. Like, it would bond with her.
Yeah.
And not just make her whatever.
I think, yeah, that makes sense.
It would do what they actually wanted it to do, rather than...
It's her blood that's... They need her blood to do the cures and stuff. And it's all about Alice. Everything's about
Alice. Yeah, everything's about Alice. The whole fucking shebang.
But I was just like... Bro, what the fuck? Where did that come from? The kiss? Like, what? So stupid.
That's fucking stupid.
But yeah, so they do...
That was just her husband being... No, I tell you what, that's why her husband took over direction afterwards.
Yeah, he was like, no.
You can't be having a kiss. Why did I didn't write that bit in. The director's like, yeah, I just thought it'd be good for the scene.
The director is also Carlos.
But
yeah, so Alice, she fights Dr. Simp, Stretchy Man. They're in a facility and they go to the laser corridor room. And he gets... this is stupid. So she's in the facility and she sees a clone of herself and, like, lets her go. And the clone is, like... Because they're in, like, water or something, so the clone just chokes, and what you think is that she dies, because she chokes to death.
Yeah.
Then they do the big fight. the guy gets cut up by the laser grid. But then Alice survives because clone Alice, bearing in mind essentially she has just been born and died, wakes up and then hacks the system to stop the laser. And I was like, great, fucking great. Amazing.
He's like, oh, thanks, clone Alice.
and then literally
each, that's the thing, because each Alice thinks that they are like just the normal Alice, right? They're just the main Alice.
I guess so.
Because you have that bit in the beginning where Alice wakes up and then she gets killed and dumped and whatever.
Yeah.
But she thought she was the real Alice.
I assume so.
And also, we don't know whether the Alice that we know is really like the first one, right?
I don't know if she's the first one, but she's the main one because the guy's cloning Alice and whatever they're doing isn't working. Because they keep dying, he says something to the extent of, we need Project X or whatever. You know, they need the Alice. So the one the good one, whether or not she's like the OG or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then it fucking ends with Alice being like, I'm coming to get you with a clone army. And I'm like,
and who is she talking to when she says
she's
that?
She's talking to a man with blonde hair and sunglasses.
Right, sure. But what, so like, is he there in person, or
he's
she's like
on a video call?
Okay, yeah.
And yeah, that's it. Bad film, good, of course, because it's Resident Evil and it was amazing and insane and stupid.
Yeah.
Let's get into the second.
So, yeah, so that kind of actually pushes into the fourth film fairly well then, because I'll give a little lowdown. This was also on Amazon Prime, as I said, which says, Alice, Mila Jovovich, is back in the fourth installment of the Resident Evil saga. Now, without superhuman powers, she'll team up with fellow survivors Claire and Chris, Ali Lata and Wentworth Miller
take
on the armies of the undead and take down the Umbrella Corporation whose virus has created them. Armies of the undead. Armies of the undead and take down the Umbrella Corporation whose virus has created them. That's a terrible way of structuring that sentence. They made it sound like it was, yeah, that's so fucking dumb. So this starts in such a weird way, right? Because it starts in like literally the middle of
is it Tokyo?
What's the fucking... Yeah, it's in Tokyo, but it's in the big, you know, the big fucking
the Tokyo.
Tokyo's Times Square.
I think it might be Shibuya or something.
Yeah, I think so, Shibuya. I didn't want to say it and sound like an idiot. so you did first, so I'm going to go with it. Sweet. And if it's wrong, you're the idiot. But it starts there, and it's like super busy, and it's raining, and there's loads and loads of people walking like in all directions, like, you know, big crowds of people walking back and forth. And there's this like one girl who's just kind of stood in the middle of it. And you kind of keep cutting between this girl and this man who's also walking along like towards her.
Yeah, I remember this.
And this is what was confusing, because she just, you're cutting between this, and then she just suddenly turns like instantly, because it was slow-mo until this point. Of the rain and the people and whatever. And by the way, this film, I don't know about the third one. Obviously, the direction is different. This film, so much slow motion. Like, Zack Snyder levels of the amount of slow motion in this movie. So, lots of slow-mo as he's walking forwards and she sort of turns to look at him. He's just a random person in the crowd that's, like, walking along. And he kind of looks at her like, oh, what's going on with this girl? And she looks at him. And then as the slow motion ends, she just immediately turns into a zombie. Like, she looks normal. And then she, like, suddenly opens her mouth and puts her head back. And suddenly she looks all zombie-like. Like, as if it just sort of the infection suddenly instantly hits her kind of thing. So she just suddenly goes, and then grabs him and then starts bite his neck, and he's like, ah, and then people start panicking, and then it does this zoom out where it's like, it zooms slowly out and out and out and out. And as it does, all of the, like, the lights of the city from that center point start going out, and then it outwards in a big circle, it all starts like going out to signify, like, I guess everybody dying and the world shutting down from there. So I was watching that thinking, okay, so, huh, I thought the whole idea was that the infection started in Raccoon City.
Yeah.
And then managed to get out. And, like, when you were saying that most everything is, like, fucking desert and stuff, so I'm like, okay, so is it just that that's just, like, in America that that was the case? But also, did the infection start... Did the same T-virus infection hit multiple places? Because I think the idea was that this other facility in the beginning of the fourth one, this facility that all of the Alices breach, I think it's one that's underneath Shibuya. I think that's the idea, is that it's in Tokyo, right. And that's why it starts there, because then it is, because it then cuts to, like, oh, how many years later, and you've got a couple of, like, marksman snipers up on these skyscrapers in that area, and they're just, like, picking off some random zombies and, like, chatting over the comms, and then suddenly they both get, like, stealth killed by
right,
which you think to begin with it's just Alice, like, just one Alice,
and so
I was just like, okay, but that means that she, like, oh, this one girl started the infection here in Tokyo, but how was she infected? How did she get there? Why did that happen? I don't understand. Like, it's so weird and random.
Makes no sense.
It makes no sense. Unless it was like, oh, well, Umbrella, like, infected a number of different people in different places across the world or whatever, and just set it all off, and it's like bioterrorism. But why?
Yeah, yeah.
And this is something that really comes into play in this film, I think, because I've got a note, I think, much further in, where I was just like, why? Why is Umbrella doing any of this? Because in the games, the whole point is that they were trying to... They were sort of... I mean, different people had different objectives within the corporation, but generally the point was bioengineer shit so that you could make somebody kind of stronger, more powerful, you know, they could unlock all the secrets of biology and, like, give them everlasting life and unlock all of these, like, superhuman abilities and whatever, but then also sell those fucking things to the highest bidder and make fucking shit tons of money and, you know, give them the bioweapons and then give them this, give them the viruses, yeah, and give them the antiviruses and whatever, you know, it's the big pharma shit. So that was the whole thing. Like, they were driven largely by the desire for power and wealth and all this sort of stuff. What's the point in doing any of this when the entire world is dead? Like, what is your goal at this point? Because I'll sort of cover what they go through in a minute as to what the kind of plans were and where Umbrella go from there. But either way, in the beginning, you have that, and then you kind of cut back to, okay, this is years in and everyone's dead and, you know, these snipers are just pissing about and then they get taken out. And we see Alice with her, like, in a full fucking latex fucking bodysuit, you know, hair, ponytail, like, tight ponytail. And she's got, like, swords and guns and shit, and she's taken out all of the... It's like alarms are going off, and you've got Wesker at this main control panel talking to all the people, like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, there's a breach of the facility, sir. And he's like, well, fix it. And then one of them, like, says something in protest, and he just shoots them. And then he's like, I said get it done, or whatever. And everyone else is like, okay. And then, you know, it's that kind of stupid, like, he just shoots someone for disagreeing with him, or saying, but it's impossible, we can't do that, just shoots them. Classic bad guy shit. But he's watching all this stuff, he's on a podium, and then we kind of cut to, like, they're all looking at this elevator, like this group of guards waiting for this elevator to ping, but you see that she drops down behind them. And then some of that action is so... thing is, some of the action in this film is fun and quite like good and interesting, and obviously they put so much fucking slow-mo in it. That's most of the action is in slow-mo. But then also some of it is just so goofy. Like, she does a move where she does like a jump and kind of a flip, but then when she's upside down, and it's like a completely physics defying thing, she's like upside down and swings her blades and decapitates two of them, and then lands and like does whatever. And, you know, she's fighting all these guys and killing them all, and then she progresses, but then she gets to a point where she gets jumped by somebody and gets shot, and then they kill her. And you're like, oh, well, Alice is dead. But then, no, there are more and more appear. And then it's kind of like a, you know, that's the, oh, look, there's loads and loads of clones. And they all look exactly the same. They've got the ponytail. They got the fucking, I don't know where they got all these bodysuits from. I guess they had them at the lab where she found them. and they're all just like, you know, taking this whole place apart. And then you see Wesker kind of watching things explode, watching... literally, like, squads of Alice's going round and killing people. And he sort of manages to escape. I don't remember. I think he has a fight with one of them, and then somebody else shoots or something. I don't remember. But, yeah, he manages to escape in a plane and fly off. And it's this thing where, like, he's quite a good... Wesker, but within, I think within this idea of having an alternate world where like different stuff is happening.
Yeah.
Because he's the most Wesker we've had, like, an on-screen, we've had different on-screen interpretations of him, but he's the most akin to his. Yeah. Cause you've got like there was the one in the Netflix show.
Oh, Netflix? Right. Right. I thought you meant like in this franchise.
Oh, no. Because the one by Lance Reddick, he was a very different kind of, he was a very differently toned kind of Wesker.
Right.
Wesker in the games is always just like, he's very well represented in this, because he's this sleek kind of like, he talks like this kind of thing. And he's like, you know, he just seems evil. Like anything he does, he's just Mr. Evil. He's Mr. kind of eight, like super agent man, Mr. Evil kind of thing. And he's flying off in the plane, and he does his little smirk and presses a button, and the Alice's are like, get out of the building now. which, by the way, the way that these underground things are made are just so weird and impractical, because they're all underground, but it's like you've got the main sort of big kind of circular, no, like cylinder kind of body of the, I think they call them the Nest, like they do in the games. But then you have like, they almost look like legs that go off. So you've got the main cylinder body, and then you've got in all different directions, like six different directions, you've got like maybe just a huge long corridor of some sort, and then smaller cylinders then that drop down from those ones. And I was like, why not just have them next to each other? What? Why? You've got big long corridors and shit underground. Like, what's the... That's so impractical. What the fuck is this? But yeah, he basically blows the whole thing up. But he doesn't just blow it up. It's... They somehow have this device. I know that, like, viruses and all this kind of stuff is fairly high sci-fi, but literally, it is a device that levels the entirety of, like... at least a whole district or something in fucking Tokyo. It is like the size of a huge city, but it just slowly expands outwards and outwards, like this big energy ball that's just like kind of whipping everything up and destroying it. And then it all implodes on itself and leaves a giant crater in the ground, which looks fucking cool. But also you're like,
why?
Jesus Christ, what kind of technology do they have? This is insane. So he does that. And then you get the reveal that the real Alice is on the plane. And you know that it's the real Alice because she has short hair and she's not wearing a bodysuit. Because she just told the other ones, you wear these and I'll not wear that.
Yeah, so that we can define me.
Exactly.
I know you.
I am Alice Prime.
Yeah, I know you all think you're all Alice Prime, but I am Alice Prime.
Yeah, look at the evidence around you.
Yeah.
So then she's there. And earlier, so we've seen that all of the other Alices also have her powers. Like, they also have crazy powers.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Because when we see... when we have the first sequence of the person we think is Alice, and she's doing all the fighting and all this kind of stuff, and then she's got to face a bunch of people, and she's just stood there, and you're like, well, they're going to shoot her. Then she just suddenly, like, her pupils go really wide, and she just goes, and just does this massive shockwave that kills everybody and destroys half the room. And I was like, okay, one, why didn't you do that earlier?
Yeah.
Why
didn't
two,
they all do that?
That was a clone, so all the clones have her abilities.
But
she just never wants to use them.
Ever.
But that's the thing. They had to... This is the thing that they keep doing in this franchise, which is, on the one hand,
good stuff.
An interesting thing for trying to create a situation where people will want to watch the sequel. But then... on the other side of that, which is like fine and cool, you're like, oh my god, that's such a cool idea. But then in the next film, they always just immediately retcon it. So in this one, they were like, oh, she's got an army of clones. Well, that's way too strong. How do we get rid of that? Oh, we'll have them all push into this facility, and he does a bomb that's so incredibly ridiculous that it just instantly evaporates every single person within the city itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Little sippy.
Clever filmmaking.
So he does all that. He's on the plane. She then just reveals that she kind of like comes out of the side of the plane. She's like goes to walk up to him to attack him or something. And then I think he suddenly like whips around and injects her with something. And she's like, oh my god! And then you get like the 2000s fucking go into a bloodstream and see all the little T virus, which is literally a little mess of virus in the shape of a T, in like on the level of her blood cells, like some tiny little T's that are floating around in her system. And the thing that he injected into her system, we see it go in, like we see these little, they're almost like tiny little parasites that flow into her system, latch onto the T virus. And start, I don't know, nibbling at it or something. That you just see him like attaching onto the different ends of the T virus, and then he's just like, "I've taken it all away, all your powers, all your super strength, and your super healing." And she's like, "Oh my god!" And then he kind of kicks her around a bit, and you just have this stupid thing where, like, because he was the only one on the plane. Right, he didn't have anyone flying the plane with him or anything. So he starts fighting her, and then he points a gun at her head and then says something like, you know, I'm going to kill you right now. Something stupid like that. You know what I mean? He says some line like... Yeah. And I think because earlier, when she was about to kill him, she was like, any last words? Which is such a fucking stupid, like, why? Such a dumb thing they always do.
It's the worst thing.
So then she goes... Wait. And he goes, last words? I was like, this is so not, like, it's so out of character. Why would you just massacred that entire facility full of thousands of people. probably hundreds of thousands of people. It was a city-wide fucking level facility, plus all of those Alices. And this is the main one who was the only one that could possibly stop you on this plane. And he's like, last words? And then she just says something up. She says something stupid. I don't remember what she said. It was just like a nothing burger of... Did she say it on here? No, I didn't put it in my thing. But she's just like, huh, who's flying the plane? Or something stupid like that. And he turns around. Instead of just like shooting her and then turning around, he then turns around and the plane goes from just like cruising to suddenly going towards a mountain, like nose diving towards a mountain. So he sprints to the other side of the thing to stop it. And we get like more slow-mo. And this I remembered from before. Oh, obviously, I won't go through the whole film like bit by bit or anything, but I wanted to open up this sequence to give you an idea of how this film starts, because this is all within the first like 15 or so minutes. And you get the slow-mo. The facility stuff is pretty quick.
Right.
Okay. Maybe if you count the, maybe like 20 minutes, you count the beginning slow-mo stuff with the girl and whatever and stuff. but the facility stuff is like super quick. They're breaking in, everyone's dying, and then he gets on the plane or whatever. Like, it's not that long. So then you get a slow-mo shot where he is trying to reach for the controls, but he's not quite making it. Like, he's almost there. And they're literally about to crash, like, right in front of the mountain, about to crash into it. She, with her newly gone powers, she is now a normal person, as established. He kicked her around. She has no super strength anymore. She has no mind powers. He said that she doesn't have any healing. She's like mid-air where she's kind of being thrown about a little bit by the plane, because the plane is just about to hit into this thing and they're both sort of airborne a little bit. As the slow-mo thing happens and the front of the plane starts to kind of crash and whatever, and they just fucking crash into the side of this mountain. Like, it boom, fully crashes into the mountain and explodes. And I think they'd, like, cut to black or something, right? So she should be dead.
Yeah.
There is absolutely no way at all that she should be alive. I would be surprised if she was alive before she lost her powers. The fucking stupid powers, right? But they retcon the powers and they're like, no, you don't have them anymore. And immediately then, instead of doing it afterwards, like...
Why didn't they just do that?
You know,
that was such a big impact that you've lost your powers.
Or just that, like, he injected her and then says something like, you know, within 5 minutes you'll completely have lost your powers or something, and then make her so that she only just manages to use the last of her healing powers to repair herself before she loses something. Like, just one iota of effort more than what they did, because you then have that whole thing where you've got this wreckage of the plane, and I mean burning, destroyed wreckage of this plane on the mountainside, and she stands up going and she's covered in like soot. Like, fuck off, there's no fucking way. That's so ridiculous. It's just so stupid. So she just, like, survives that. But I was also like, so the plane didn't have an autopilot or anything, like, and it just nosedived for some reason. That whole sequence was just so silly. And it was an excuse to be like, we don't see obviously what happens to Wesker. So you're like, oh, is he dead or not? And we need a reason to like get him out of the way and take her powers away and whatever. So then she's like, she gets up and like, whatever. And then it just cuts to like some time later. I don't know what the span of time is. It's not just like a couple days or something. It might be a few months later, maybe. And she's just in a biplane flying. Or it's like some sort of biplane type thing. So very simple kind of, nothing fancy. She's flying, and then she's like, my name is Alex. Oh, she might have done it before, I don't remember, but she's flying in this plane, and then she's saying about how she's trying to travel to all of these different, like, major cities to see if she can find signs of life. I think it might even be like 6 months later, maybe, because she's like, I haven't seen a single sign of life in God knows how long in all these cities, whatever. Because it was at this point, because I hadn't seen the third one, I was like, if there's no signs of life, how does she know about this Arcadia place? Because she's talking about flying to Alaska to for the Arcadia thing.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah. Why didn't she just go there in the first place? She found the book.
I think this is, well, I mean, she got caught by the, Oh, no, I suppose she went, she wanted to go and kill Wesker in that first, I guess. but no, to be fair, that is when she's talking to the video and saying, my name is Alice. I've been doing this for fucking 6 years now. Because she's recording a video in the cockpit while she's flying. And she's like telling the video her coordinates and shit. I'm like, why? and she obviously lists off like the names of the people from the previous film. Like she's trying to find them. And it's funny because you've got all these just weird ass names. She's like LJ, 5Q, Kmart.
You but know, LJ fucking died. Best Buy. She saw him die.
I don't know if she actually said LJ, listed a bunch of people. She's like Claire, and then one of the people being the girl called Kmart. And I remember Raisa watching it, and she was like, "Did she just say her name was Kmart?" I was like, "Yeah." She was like, "That's a fucking stupid name."
They do explain it in the third
one. I figured it was a case of like...
It's like a, oh, they found me in a Kmart.
Yeah.
And I have a real name, but I don't like it, so everyone calls me Kmart. That's
it's like somebody went to the nearest building that they could find to hole up in because they're being chased by zombies, and they realize they're in a sex shop. So then somebody comes along and finds them, and they're like, hey, thanks for the save. Hey, no worries, sex shop. No worries, dildo. How'd you get your name? we found a sex shop. Yeah. Fighting off zombies with a 12-inch dildo. Badass. But anyway, so... Yeah, she's flying along. I was like, how is she fueling that plane? None of this. What is going on? But sure, we'll just accept it. I guess they did the car stuff in the previous film, so we're doing planes now. She sees that there are people with a big helper sign on a roof. This is like, and we know this is 5 years in as well. I think she said it's been 5 years since whatever happened and blah, blah, blah. So it's in keeping with the timeline. So at first I was like, well, why are there people saying help us on the roof? Because she says about how pretty much every city is like razed to the ground. But like they've just tried to contain it. So they like carpet bomb every city and stuff. So she's somewhere in America. I don't remember where it is. And all the city, it's the typical like apocalypse. All the cities are fucking shells of what they used to be and all this kind of stuff. But there's this one large like kind of prison building, but it's like super, super, it's like a fucking skyscraper prison building. It's got loads and loads of stories. And she fucking lands her plane on the roof. And it's the most ridiculous thing. And somebody like sets up, the people who are there move the stuff out of the way so she can come back and make another pass. I'm jumping ahead. There is one bit because she's in the plane and then she goes to where she thinks Arcadia is, I think. And there's loads of other planes there for some reason, like very similar, like biplanes and shit. There's loads of other planes there. And she meets Claire there because she finds a helicopter, the helicopter that the other guy's like left in the third one, I guess. She finds the helicopter and it has the book in it. And she's like, they got here. They got off the helicopter. Yeah. What happened to them? And then she gets attacked by Claire, who has this... It's a clear setup for, like, the next film, because they don't explain it at all in this one, really.
right.
But they... Claire attacks her, and she's got this, like, robot spider-looking thing on her chest that's controlling her. So she just... It's like from the games. Stupid. I know, but it's something that is in Resident Evil 5. But,
right.
Again, it's just so out of... It's, like, left field. So...
That's what I mean. It's just like they just... Everything in this franchise is just like... They're just fucking throw whatever in. They're like...
Yeah.
Don't, not on board, fuck you. Don't care. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, because like... Now. Yeah. So then Claire attacks her and she just like beats her, obviously because she can, even though she doesn't have any powers, and then takes the thing off of her chest. Claire doesn't remember who she is, and she's... puts her in the back of the plane and they fly off to and then they end up going to this building and stuff. And again, like coincidences as well, because it ends up that Claire's brother, Chris, is in the building. He's like locked up because there's just weird shit. Like all of the survivors who are in that building are people who weren't actually at the prison beforehand, but they kind of locked themselves in there. And then they were like, oh, there was this one guy who was still in a cell because everyone had been let go before to just get bodies on the street to fight the zombies.
Right.
So this prison is basically empty, but there's one cell that's like in the middle of a room, like an actual cage kind of thing. And they're like, oh yeah, we don't trust this guy. He must be in here for a reason. So we're going to sit and guard him and have one person like watching him for some reason. But so it just so happens that they find the building that obviously her brother is in. But yeah, so they land the fucking plane, which was just the most ridiculous thing, on this roof. But then, Aiden, we get the best character in this whole franchise, Luther West.
Luther?
Now, I don't know if you'll remember... But we fucking loved this guy when we watched this. Because you'll remember when I say this. He's the one who just can't stop introducing himself.
Oh my god! Yeah!
Yeah!
I'm the worst.
Yeah! Like, but the funny thing is, we have that whole narrative about him. But he only actually does it twice. But it's the fact that it's literally like, there's two people in that plane. He helps them both out of the plane and says to Alice, hi, I'm Luther West.
Yeah.
And then helps Claire out and says, I'm Luther West. And it was just the most like, yeah, we know you're Luther West. And then they point to this, when she's like talking to them, like, oh, what are you guys doing here? Blah, blah. Like, you know, who are you? What do you do? Where do you come from? Where do you go? And then they point over at a giant billboard on another building that has Luther West on it.
Yeah.
Posing, yes. And it says Luther West. And I was like, he's Luther West. What can you say?
Oh my god, man. I remember just being sat he's got, on like, PlayStation watching these synced up together, being like, and I'm Luther West.
I'm Luther West.
Just in the middle of like a shootout, he's like, I'm Luther West.
Don't worry, I'll save you. Me, Luther West. Oh man, it's so funny.
Oh dude.
And yeah, yes. you then have the whole thing like Chris is all suspicious and creepy for no reason. I mean it's fucking Prison Break, dude. So
Wentworth Miller.
Yeah, and he's kind of playing a very similar I haven't seen Prison Break, so I don't know how he plays the guy in that.
So
but if you've seen Legends of Tomorrow, the way he plays Captain Cold, it's kind of similar to this. He's just very
it's the same. The way he plays Captain Cold is the same way that he plays Mike in Prison.
Okay,
Boy, I think.
Lots of like he's just suspicious of everyone, but also is maybe suspicious himself.
Yeah, exactly.
So he does a lot of that, and they have to. They're like, oh, there's all the zombies outside, and we can't get out. So maybe we take the fucking biplane to. Oh, they see the boat Arcadia from the top of this building because it's apparently it's just out off the fucking shore of the island, and they're like, oh, it must be like slowly making its way down the coastline, picking up survivors and whatever. Yeah. So they're like, we need to get out of the building, except it's completely surrounded by like every fucking zombie in that city is trying to get into this massive fucking building. genuinely. And then they were like, oh, well, we could take the plane and like ferry us back and forth one by one. And then they were literally just like, there's no fucking way we're ever making that landing again.
Yeah, yeah.
That like, it's not happening. So then they're like, oh, we have to go and talk to Chris and, you know, find another way out. And he knows another way out, but can we trust him? Ooh. But obviously he's Claire's brother and they've resolved all that, whatever. And then they have the whole thing where they hatch an elaborate plan to escape and stuff. And they get attacked by, like, the zombies start digging their way in. Because you get the zombies just where they're suddenly Resident Evil 4 Las Plagas zombies, where they open their mouths and they have the fucking parasite that kind of forces its way out of their mouth. But they never at any point, they only ever talk about the T-virus in these movies. So they never expand on that idea. They never say, like, unless they do it in the third one, they never say,
nope.
Oh, we've mixed the T-virus with Las Plagas. They never say, you know, oh, it's evolved in some way or anything like that. They're just like, no, these zombies have giant plant-like fucking demigorgon-looking shit coming out of their mouths. So they're digging themselves. And it's so funny because all of the side fucking, like, fodder characters will just get grabbed and then pulled underground or something every now and then when somebody needs to die. It's just so silly. So, you know, they're dropping one by one. They're all trying to get their way out, blah, blah, blah. And then Luther West, like, disappears. You think he's been grabbed by a zombie.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You're bringing back vivid memories of us going, Luther West, no!
No!
And then he turns
up. He was Luther West.
He was Luther West. And then he turns up later and we were like, oh, my God! I'm Luther West.
Yeah, because he, again, like you said, when he disappears, then fucking Alice is like breaking down about it. And I'm like, bro, you met him like 5 hours ago.
Yeah, she wanted
maybe
to kiss him. She had a passionate kiss
with Luther West. You have some terrible CG where, like, because all the zombies break in, and then they're all getting up to the roof, and then the other guy's just about to escape, and then Alice has to, like, get a fucking abseiling gear and then jump off the roof. But it's so bad. The CG is fucking awful. And she's like, she's like swinging on this rope, which, by the way, would have broken her back the minute that it went taut. But she's swinging on this rope, like, around the building and like kind of down, but then takes out two guns and starts shooting the zombies while she's falling, and then just unhooks herself and does a roll and then gets like up or whatever. And I'm like, you just jumped like 50 stories or something stupid. Like, what the fuck? And so much slow-mo, and they just throw in things like the, what are they called? The Maginis or something like that. Maginis. Magis. They're the ones that are in, I think they're definitely in Resident Evil 5. I don't know if they're in Resident Evil 4 much. I don't think they are, but they're basically they're these huge guys that have a sack on their head and they'll have a massive, massive like hammer / axe kind of weapon.
Yeah, I know the ones.
And you have one that like slices somebody in half and then they have to fight it. And again, this super long slow-mo with Claire in the showers where the water's going everywhere. And then she gets these shotguns that what's her face that Alice made, where it's like penny shot, which is funny because I'm sure that they shoot those guns quite often. But one, I don't think, I'm pretty sure that the pennies would just be in the barrel. So like, they would fall out because they're not held in any way, unless I don't know something about how that is supposed to work. But also, they would have to get more pennies and reload it every time. So I don't know. It's just stupid.
It's
stupid,
yeah.
So yeah, you have a bunch of that, and then they sort of manage to escape, and Luther West disappears. But then they go off to the boat, and this is the point where I was like, why does Umbrella even bother at this point? Because they get to the boat and they realize that it's an Umbrella trap. And what Umbrella was doing was luring all the survivors to the boat so that they could experiment on the survivors. But why? Everybody's like, dead. Yeah. What are you going to achieve at this point? You know?
That's so stupid.
But
does that mean that they set up that, like, that they wanted Alice to go there? Do they want Alice to go there?
Because if they don't know, then that
means they would have known that Alice went to that random gas station and were like, quick, plant a fucking book in that gas station so she'll find it and then eventually come here.
I don't know, because they were experimenting on things. I don't think there was a moment where, because Wesker's at this facility, I don't think there was a moment where he was like, ah, it's all come together. You were exactly where I wanted you to be or whatever. I don't think they do that. But to be fair, when she goes to the building, the first time and meets Luther West, they say that they've been receiving all these transmissions on loop saying like, Arcadia, this ship is Sanctuary, there's no infected here, and whatever, and then it cut off at some point. So I don't know whether they Umbrella definitely didn't just like take it over, because the ship is like a custom built Umbrella lab. So
yeah, I remember
it was always an Umbrella thing.
Like underneath, yeah.
But yeah, so then, you know, they confront Wesker, and it's like he says about how the T-virus fights for control in his body, like it brought him back from the crash, and he's having to fight against it. So he's just been ingesting loads of people's blood, like the survivors' bloods, or something, to try and like balance. Because he's like, the T-virus, there's more T-virus in my body than there is my own cells, so I'm trying to ingest other people's blood to balance it out so that there's more human blood in there or something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's whatever. but then he's like, but no, I need yours, Alice. I need the source, because you're the only one who's ever bonded with the T-virus properly, so I need yours so that I can, like, you know, be chilling. And again, he has two of the fucking zombie dogs, except they split down the middle, like, with their heads and they're sort of like Las Plagas-y type ones, like in the
right,
games.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, well, you've not said anything about the parasite before, so, okay. So then you kind of have like a fight between them. Wesker's doing his, like, it's a really shit version of, like in Resident Evil 5 and stuff, you kind of see that he's got all of these like super fast abilities and stuff. So like if you try and shoot him, he can dodge the bullets, like he's quick enough, but it's, the effect is so shit in this. It was just so, I was very disappointed. It like looked disappointing and there was no like cool audio on it or anything. I was like, oh, but it's just a kind of thing of like, they fight him and you think they've killed him and then he's not dead and then they do it again and then he's still alive and then they do one more thing and they think he's dead and then it ends up that they think he's dead, they walk away and they free all the survivors because they're literally being kept like frozen in tubes that descend into the, like you've got the floor of this lab and you press a button and these fucking tubes come up out of it with people in.
So then Wesker to like hear about the film you haven't watched and be like, yeah, I remember this.
So then Wesker flies away, or he like gets in his thing to like fly away, and they're like, oh my god, no, they got to try and stop him, but he's too far away. They do that thing where like he's flying off and they're shooting at him as he's flying off, but he's already gone, and I'm like, stop, what are you gonna do? You're not gonna get him. But then it's the thing where earlier, so what they established in the beginning is that when he blew up the whole facility, he had these special charges that was like, you know, umbrella fucking nuke charges that were built into the walls and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And we saw one of them on the boat, and Alice looked at it earlier. So then he's flying away, and he's feeling all cocky, and he's like, and he presses the three buttons in to set off the explosives on the ship. And he presses like the final one in, and Alice was shouting to Chris and Claire, like, quickly, come here. And you're like, or she was like, run, like as if they were going to try and get off before it exploded. But then it cuts back to Wesker, and he hears beeping on the ship, and he's like, huh? And then goes over to some stuff and like picks up some, like moves some things aside, and the explosive is there in the ship with him as he's flying away. And then it shows the shot of where it was in the wall, and it's like it's like a detachable thing, so it's gone from the wall. And then Alice was like, oh, I was calling you because I don't want you to miss this. And then they watch his ship fucking explode in the way that it does, like literally like a big fucking energy ball that then implodes and shit. So it does that. So I was like, okay, so with all of the rows of those ships, those like fucking jets that he got in, there was a number of them. So she, before going in, she went and got one of those, got the charge, went and put it in one of the ships and hid it, and then went in, did all of that stuff, and then had it all planned so that he'd do that. I was like, what? It was just very genius.
It was because she's still got psychic powers.
Oh, she's still super brain, yeah. And then it basically ends where they're all the people who, and they're all in like white shirts. Somebody must have just undressed. I guess Wesker just went and undressed every person and gave them a white gown or something.
Yeah, he's like, wear this.
But they are all walking out into the sunlight of the deck of the ship, and she's like, "We did it. We saved everyone."
Yes.
And then you see all of these like fucking carriers, these like people carrier fucking not helicopters, but like, you know, big people carrier things flying in towards them, which I guess was meant to be the satellite thing this whole time. I've no idea. And they're all full of people. And you see on one of them, this woman walking back and forth, and it's Jill.
Yeah.
But she's wearing the Resident Evil 5, like kind of, again, the kind of like spandex fucking suit. Spandex, the latex suit.
No, spandex, you had it right.
Okay. but the, where she's got like the control thing on her as well, so you can see she's being controlled.
Yeah.
I think she's
blonde
as well now, because that's what they did in the games. But then she has this fucking speech where she's like, now remember, we've got the Project X down there, and Claire and Chris Redfield, along with all these people. And she was like, so no prisoners, no mercy. And remember, you're going to be in for the fight of your lives. I was like, why? They are literally a fucking squadron of a big fucking kill squad going in to literally slaughter and gun down a host of unarmed people. Like, Alice, Chris and Claire are the only ones that are armed. Chris and Claire have like a handgun each, and Alice should have a couple of shotguns that have no pennies in them, because she's fired them about five times each in this movie. So what's dangerous? I don't understand. Like, it's such a stupid, like, thing. But the best bit at the very end is that there's a big sewer pipe, like a big kind of wide sewer pipe that is facing the ocean. And you see his shirt, it may be ripped and torn, but Luther West himself stumbles out to the sunlight. And there's like zombies coming up behind him, and he shoots them with his double guns. And he looks, I guess they just wanted somebody that had double guns to replace the other guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's looking out at all of the fucking helicopters flying towards the boat. And he's like, I don't think he says anything, but it's that kind of like, oh, hell, you know? And that's the fucking end.
Oh, my God. I remember the start of the next one as well.
Yeah. The next one, they do like the, they do an entire slow-mo reverse.
Yeah.
Like, play the whole thing in reverse and then play the whole thing through again so you can watch it. And you're just like, why? I've seen it already. Yeah,
and I remember that they progressively, from this point, they progressively add like more snap cuts. Do you remember? Like, they just kept. There was scene in the sixth one where it's like 20 terrible different angles of the same thing, and it's just like cut. Cut.
Oh, I remember that, and it's like an infamously bad edit.
Yeah,
I'll be excited for that. I'll be watching number six. So
yeah. I'll be seeing the fifth one.
I think the fifth one's a good one to watch.
I think they're all good.
Yeah.
But I mean, we don't need to bad film great. Like,
yeah, I mean, bad film good. Like, we enjoy watching Resident them. Evil. They are bad. Like, they're terribly written. The action is just so silly. There's so much slow-mo. It doesn't make any sense. But
it's just...
And the acting is something to be desired. Yeah, definitely. Thing is, I think that the main actress, she's very good at looking badass. Like, they do that for her.
Yeah.
Like, they not as in, like, to take that from her, but like that's one thing that the film does do well with her character is they make her look badass, where she'll have all these, you know, she'll do something cool and then stand there and pose and you're like, damn, she's badass.
Yeah.
But like, it's very hollow, but it knows what it is. So
hey, it made 300 million.
And it made 300 fucking million, which is so crazy.
Oh, so good. Fucking good. But yeah, that's a very long one, but hey, you know, two films.
It's a double bill. We're treating you.
Next week we are doing, I think we're doing Hoodwinked next week.
Dinamite.
Dinamite. And did I do. Save it. If you want to keep up to date, we're on X.
No.
Space. We're on
X videos.
We're on Go. Oh, fuck. Yeah, we're on X videos. Check us out.
Look, I'm just saying that, you know, it's just the website formerly known as Twitter, the video section of that website.
Oh, babe.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, mercy. But yeah, as always, we'll leave you with. I can do this.
You got it.
AI Wars, baby. Oh no, fuck.
Oh, you were so close.
I missed the fucking. AI Wars, baby. That was a ukulele this time.
Freaking chaos.
It's the segment where we used to look at inspirational quotes from Inspirabot, which are randomly generated quotes slapped onto randomly generated images. And then I found them not very funny anymore, so I found Image Flip, which is standard 2000 memes with random text on the top of them. And we started pitting them against each other. And since we did that...
We're getting ahead of it, because it'll be a sport one day, you know, AI Wars.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
It looked for a long time like because I'd switched to Image Flip, Inspirobot suddenly got funny again. And for a long time, it was winning. But then I realized you could turn off, or you could turn on, not safe for work filter. And it started adding swear words, and it became much more funny. And now it's 15 all.
Yeah.
It's close. It's close. I think I went first last week. So I think it's your turn.
All right. So I've got an interesting one here. So in the foreground of this image, covering like the whole image, is a very like a very steamed up window. You could kind of imagine it like a shower screen, maybe, but it's just like a steamed up window. You've got some water kind of running down it, lots of droplets of water everywhere. It's getting really, whatever this room is that you're looking into, it's getting steamy in there. It's getting hot and steamy.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, talking about hot and steamy, it's like one of these fucking like gym bro fucking things in the background where there's this blurry image of this guy who's like, he's got the full kind of beard. He's like jacked, got fucking huge biceps, like huge pecs. This guy's like fucking toned and ripped.
Man,
and
this is turning me on.
Yeah. And it says on the front, "Much beloved is the son who gives to his friend his trouser snake, for he also is known for his life."
That is such a gym bro, like.
That's such a gym. Like, you can just imagine the fucking gym bro, like, some, one of those fucking sound bites they use on it.
Yeah.
And he's, like, doing some fucking curls and whatever. It's, and he's like,
"I give you my seed.
Give your bro from his trouser snake.
Mine, I did say before we recorded that I think you might be in for an easy one. Mine is, it's the Yoda meme, so it's just a
always
picture
Yoda.
Of Yoda.
Yeah.
He usually comes out with bangers.
Yeah.
And it just says, "You must be shit. You must be shit."
Oh. That's his response to this guy.
Yeah. Look, Trouser Snake.
Trouser Snake's got to win.
I did say, I knew what I was in for.
Yeah.
Inspirobot takes it.
Give your friend a trouser snake.
Give your friend a trouser snake.
Only if it's consensual.
Yeah. Which is a big point. I mean, you know, gym bros, especially if it's
consensual. We know that they're all about consent.
We know you're a type. You know what? Yeah. We know what you like.
That's it.
That's it. Fuck off.
Yeah. Just as a reminder, I'll pop these in now and then. We are episode, 89, I think?
It should
be 89 now, which means we only have 11 episodes left, as marked by the ukulele. We're going to get to 100, and then Aiden is going to fuck off. he's gonna go off around the world. Do some fucking shit in Australia or whatever. Fucking asshole. I don't care.
I got to fuck off.
Yes.
So yeah, just a heads up. We'll do a countdown.
Yeah.
Every week now is one less.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Thanks for listening. This was the last episode.
That's the countdown. All right.
Yeah. Bye.
That's it. Bye.